Revolutionary.org, episode 598, 2024, Deca Durabolin Revisited. And this is going to be an interesting one here. And Mobster and I are going to go over Deca. Look, at the end of the day, one of the most popular steroids, I would say, Mobster, among your demo group. You know, the strength guys, the big dudes in the gym, the strong dudes. You know, you take the, you've got that group, the five strong dudes at your gym. The guys who are benching, you know, over 400, you know, 450, almost 500, you know, they're usually big, stocky guys, usually, you know, 5'9", 5'10"-ish, you know, 230, 240, somewhere in there. And they're the guys that, you know, they're the guys that go there and they strength train. And you ask them, you know, go ask them. Be like, look, what's your favorite steroid? And they'll say Deca. Deca's good shit. That's their favorite. Now, Deca, it has fallen out of favor, definitely, last couple decades, because a lot of people are scared of it because of Deca Dick. And I think that people are scared of it because they're like, oh, it's a bulker and all this stuff. And, you know, we're going to kind of talk about both of those things. We're going to talk about 2024. It just still amazes me to this day, Mobster, how people consistently talk about, you know, we've been doing this in these revisited podcasts. And I did it on Sustanon. I was very, very hard on ignorance on Sustanon. And the reason I'm doing that is because somebody has to. So this is why we're going to talk about on this one, the myths behind Deca, the myths behind Deca, this improper view that Deca is somehow a dangerous steroid, or somehow it causes Deca Dick, or somehow it's got a lot of side effects, and these just are not true, you know. And I think a basis of those myths come down to, one, people aren't running it properly, and we're going to show you how to run in this podcast. But also, you know, a lot of it is a guy who has bad, you know, bad health, goes on Deca, gains some weight, gains a lot of strength, and then they end up with poor blood flow, and then they get erection problems, which they would have gotten anyway.
Yes.
And they already had existing problems, and they eat shit, and their wife, they're sick of banging their wife. And then they complain about Deca. Oh, it's Deca. Deca gave me the issue. No. It's not Deca that gave you the issue. Deca may have sped it up, but they didn't give you specifically the issue. So we're going to go over that in this podcast. Mansoor, what are your first initial thoughts? Then we'll get into the history.
Yeah, I'll give you some first thoughts, as Steve said. So, look, what steroids work is still the same, Steve. And we know that Deca's been around a long time, right? There's 60 coming up on 70 years, 1950 onwards, right? So you go, what's steroids work, but work then, works now. They didn't stop working in the meantime. They still work, right? You've got obviously the situation that Steve described in terms of strength, et cetera, et cetera. So strength athletes tend not to be as lean as bodybuilders. That's just a statement of facts. And of course, as I've said on other podcasts, strength athletes are in fact getting better in terms of leanness and functionality, but all things being equal, they'll still have a slightly higher percentage of body fat. So therefore, how a body responds when it's lean versus how when it's a little bit carrying a little bit of body fat differs. The age is an issue against Steve. For example, those people that Steve generalized, and it is a generalization, of course, also tend not to be younger. We're talking about 30, 40-year-olds, Steve, in terms of the lifting and the strength and so on and so forth. Very rarely you're going to be talking about those kind of athletes and talking about 19, 20, and so on. Or even as our preferred age for people using PDs, 25. That's really going to be the youngest of that group, and unlikely again, right? So that's the situation right there. I mean, the other thing is as well, Steve, I actually heard someone say something to this effect on another subject matter this morning, right? Our podcast, and specifically this Evo series, and including the Revisited series, are trying to give you as best as possible factual information backed up by numbers. For example, we've done a podcast on the top 10 sellers. Okay, and what happens is certain steroids come to the fore, certain steroids go back, But I would still put Decker in at top 10, top 15, Steve, all the time, right? The other thing, and this is what the relevance of the conversation that I was thinking about was this. If you are, especially so, and this occurs on Instagram and TikTok, in order to gain traction, you almost have to say something different. You have to say something that gets attention. And it's a bit, what we do is kind of like Encyclopedia Britannica, Steve. We're kind of like saying, right, this is an orange. It comes from this tree. This is what the fruit looks like. These are the leaves. This is the plant, you know, and you can't sex it up. You can't sort of pretend that something else works instead of an orange and so on and so forth. So listen, the reality of the situation is when we do this podcast, we're not sexing it up. We're not trying to say something outrageous to get traction and attention. We're just trying to give you the facts. And the facts are this motherfucker is a staple of many steroid users. That, as Steve said, and I had this conversation when we did a podcast yesterday, when you listen to certain people make certain statements like the one about Decadick, it's either I heard about Decadick or I had Decadick. It has to be one or the other, Steve. It can't be anything else. So the conversation goes thus. And I've asked this kind of conversation. So it says questions. I will say, how fat are you? How out of shape are you? What's your cardio like? And if all of those things are crap, if your diet's crap, then you're way more likely to have that particular issue. If you are, like I am, 50 plus, it's kind of like a given. You're not going to have the quality of erections that you had when you were 19. That's a given. It's not to say that I do or I don't, Steve, but it's just a statement of fucking fact. Otherwise, 50-year-olds will be making all the babies. It's as simple as that. And if you are out of shape, if you are your cardio shit and so on and so forth, the reality of that situation is that you're more likely to have erectile dysfunction. And then you might enhance that by taking Deca. And again, it's one of those things that when we kind of generalize, but the reality is we could get 20 fellas together on a forum and we might be lucky to find two that had that particular issue. And again, out of weight, overweight, crappy diets and so on and so forth. And even, and we've touched upon this as well, right? And Steve said it with the business of being with someone for a long time and it's not quite the same relationship you had at the beginning, etc. If you're crazy stressed, if your job's doing your head in, if your relationship's horrendous, and then you do Decca, yes, you're more likely again, right? So it's a generalization. But the reality of that situation is that the other 18 used it at a sensible dose, got great results in their cycle, and didn't have it. I've used Decca multiple times, and a particular time period when I was probably kicking ass on multiple levels with my mid-40s, I've touched upon this before, when I've done Suston on the Decca together, and I've said multiple podcasts, went from 280 to 300 pounds on those cycles, and my frequency, that's just to be crude, of the erections was as fucking same on as it was off. It made no difference to me whatsoever. I was flying solo, no girlfriend at the time, but I was taking matters in hand the same number of times a day as before.
Yep. So let's get into history a little bit, and then we're going to get back into, you know, the side effects later. But you got to remember that Decadurobolin is called Decadurobolin for a reason. It's the trade name of the base hormone, which is nandrolone. And nandrolone is actually naturally found in the human body in certain situations. So another myth that people say is, oh, you know, Deca's not naturally found in the body, but testosterone is. So you can't use Deca on a cycle. You know, I've heard someone say that before. Dude, you're a fucking idiot. All right.
You don't naturally produce paracetamol, aspirin, or fucking ibuprofen, but you take them motherfuckers. It's stupid. Carry on.
Okay, so they take the testosterone molecule, they change it, they adjust it. Okay. They make it less harsh on the body. They make it aromatized less in the body. They make it less androgenic in the body. That was the whole idea behind why they synthesized nandrolone in the 50s. And athletes were quick to jump on this. Mid-1960s, that's when athletes started messing around with nandrolone. And the reason they did is because they couldn't inject testosterone in those days in moderate amounts. You did that in moderate amounts, you ended up with gyno. You ended up with water retention. You ended up with blood pressure spike. You ended up with a lot of estrogenic side effects, okay? But with Deca, Okay, they could with nandrolone, they could run moderate amounts, and that was an advantage to them, where they didn't have to worry so much about estrogenic and androgenic side effects. So that is the benefit of why nandrolone got so popular in those days. And guys, the popularity, I would say, kept going. As I mentioned, Monster's demographic, it got really, really strong. And then people start transitioning away from Deca as people started realizing, well, you know what? It doesn't really fit what I'm doing. But let me tell you something. In some situations, it's not going to fit what you're doing. In some situations, it is. So that's why we're doing this podcast in the first place. But it's important to understand that they call it Decadurabolin as a trade name because it's the nandrolone decanoate ester chain. And they basically took nandrolone, they added that long ester chain to make it last in the body. And that ester chain, that deca ester, is about 15 or 16 day half-life. So it is a long time. That was another advantage why guys love deca over time, is because they could inject a bunch of it at once infrequently. You can literally inject this stuff once every twice a month and you're good. All right. Now, on our modern cycles, most of you are going to inject it twice a week, or maybe once a week, or maybe once every 4 or 5 days, something like that. That would be the way we run it today. But, that would be the advantage, is you don't have to inject it very often. In fact, for medical use, in the medical community, they were injecting this stuff once every 3 weeks. That's it. And that was the way it was used. It, remember, with these esters, it's slow release. It's like the Mucinex. You have the 24-hour Mucinex, right? You take the 24-hour Mucinex when you have a cold or something and you're very phlegmy. Well, it's a slow release tablet where you can take one and it will last you for like a day and a half, right? Well, DECA is the same thing. You inject it, it's going to be in your system a long time. And as you inject it over time on a correct schedule, it's going to be in your system a long time. So hence, it's going to take, now we're on the subject of half-life, it's going to take a long time to build up in your system, and it's also going to take a long time to be out of your system. And this is probably why some people, especially after cycle, they run into trouble. Because here's what happens. They'll run DECA, let's say, for 12 weeks. They'll come off. They'll run a 4-week PCT, all right? And then by the time their PCT is done, the DECA's still in their system, because it takes like 7 or 8 weeks to be out of your system. So if your PCT finishes like week 17, okay, because you did a 4-week PCT, or even if you waited a couple weeks and it finishes week 18, week 19, week 20, whatever, by the time you're done with your PCT, the DECA is still in your system, shutting you down. So then the DECA leaves your system over the next couple weeks, and then you crash, and you're like, "Oh, DECA screwed up my dick. DECA caused me to crash." No, it's because you're not doing it correctly. So you got to make sure you stretch your PCT out. You've got to make sure you wait more than a couple weeks after your last injection of DECA. You got to wait like 4 or 5 weeks after your last injection of DECA to start your PCT, if you're going to do a short PCT like that. Otherwise, you need to stretch your PCT out where it's going to be in place to give you that soft landing once you're off the DECA. Does that make sense? So a lot of you are listening to this and be like, "Oh shit, Steve just told me something no one else has ever told me," but it fucking makes sense. And that's how it is, because people are used to, they're used to just like, okay, they come off steroids, they wait a couple weeks, they run a PCT, 4 or 5 week PCT, and then they recover okay, But no, it doesn't work like that with DECA. So that's one of the reasons why we talked about at the beginning, a lot of people run into trouble with DECA. And then they're like, "Well, I'm just going to go on TRT the rest of my life." Well, no, you don't need to go on TRT the rest of your life. You just have to time your PCT better. That's all I'm saying. You want to touch on that, Mobster?
I mean, something that you and I have talked about, Steve, on many times online is the recommendation. And it's, again, it's an oversimplification because it's going to depend on the cycle that you've done, the length of the esters, and so on and so forth, how long everything's in your system. But what, as a generalization, what we typically say is that the PCT, the time off, including the post-cycle therapy, should be at least twice as long as the time you're on. That might mean you do a 4-week cycle. It's an 8-week time off, including PCT. It makes no sense to me to do it the other way around, Steve. It doesn't make any sense to me to do an 8-week cycle and a total time off, including PCT, is 4 weeks. Because, like Steve said, And again, it would be completely dependent on what you're taking. But for the most part, Steve, especially if we go with what we know is popular in terms of steroid use and what most people's cycles consist of, and we know what the esters and half-lives of those products are, how long they take to clear and so on and so forth, then we know that 4 weeks is shit. It's just, and that's just a real oversimplification. I mean, again, we could take someone's cycle, we could go into it, we could get into the details, but for the most part, you look at what's out there, you look at what people are doing, you work these things out. The reality of the situation is thus, Steve, and I touched upon this multiple times, and it's another reason why we hear people talk about going back on or whatever else, and it's this. It is a head fuck. They can't deal with... Okay, so imagine it's your first cycle and you blow up. You have a great result, Steve. You put 6, 7, 8, 9 pounds on and you feel fantastic. The testosterone kicks in. It's no negatives. You don't feel toxic. You feel like fucking Superman, okay? And even if you do what I talk about in terms of tweaking the training and tweaking the diet, it can still feel like a head fuck coming off testosterone as it starts to leave your system, as the half-life start to sort of do their thing. And slowly but surely, the amount in your system decreases. You're still struggling with natural production. You do your best. We've given you some great advice on natural production. But for a lot of fellas, and it obviously is normally fellas, a lot of them struggle with how they feel. And so they get it into their mind that they're just going to do this 8-week, 4-week thing, 8-week, 5 weeks, whatever. And the end of the 4 or 5 weeks, it's almost a mental thing. You're barely really sort of considering the actual physical feelings or sensation of being on, but it's more the mental side of it. I'm not feeling quite as good as I do. I don't feel like Superman. I have lost a little bit of muscle, all perfectly normal. You've retained a lot of the muscle that you gained. You're still relatively lean compared to where you was before. So you're actually ahead of the game. But that sensation of not quite being Superman, not quite being Turbo, whatever you want to call it, can play with a lot of people. It's not even dysmorphia, Steve. It's not literally in the mirror, I feel like I'm shrinking or whatever. It's just that sensation of not being on. And for some people, that is a head fuck. And that's the reason why they like how they feel on testosterone. They like the fact that they feel alpha. They're in the gym. They're happy to take their tops off. They're happy to walk around in a vest. And it's a bit of a thing there. And again, I say it's not even the physical dysmorphic. It's almost the mental aspect of it. And it kind of makes sense in some particular way. But the reality of that situation is if you're doing that 3-4 times a year, because it's just possible with the 12 weeks total, 8 and 4, gives you 4 cycles a year, which I actually say is a little bit too much again. And you do that for 3-4 years, that's kind of a vicious cycle. And then the next thing you know you're having to be on all the time. You're having to deal with that. So that mental aspect, that sensation. And it's especially true if you are a low T or have a low affinity for testosterone kind of person, and then you go on the testosterone, you go on a cycle, but it can be for some users night and day. And that is a very hard thing for some people to get their head around.
So,
especially if you're younger as well, Steve. Back to you.
So, look, androgens and DHT affect people differently, all right? And a lot of you are going to be strong reactors to DHT. A lot of you are going to be strong reactors to androgens. So yeah, You've got to understand your body's different and your body's change as well. So, you may react well to DHTs in your 20s, you may not in your 30s. You may hate DHTs in your 30s. You may be like,
yes, you should change, Steve, both mentally and physically in terms of response as you age.
Well, you might be like, oh, I'm going bald taking DHTs in my 30s, but in my 20s, I didn't go bald. That's just an example. So yeah. With nandrolone, you've got dihydronandrolone. That's what it metabolizes to. And that's one of the things that I brought up about 15 years ago. I was one of the first people to bring that up on forums. And now everybody's talking about it, you know? But like all I did was bring up the studies. These are studies from the 70s. You've got 3 studies. You've got a study from 1985, which talked about receptor binding of nandrolone and testosterone under in vivo conditions. You got a study in 1985 by the same guy, but his partner was different. He partnered up. It was Berg Inc. He partnered up with Janssen, and he did the comparison receptor binding properties of nandrolone and testosterone. same study that they looked at, and they found the same thing. And then it was a study even in the 70s by Krieg, Dennis Krieg, comparison between the binding of 19-nor testosterone, 5-alpha dihydrotestosterone, and testosterone rat prostate. So we have the studies that show that throughout the 70s and 80s. Why, guys, and this is, you know, kind of a shot at your generation, Mobster, why guys in your generation didn't understand that during the 80s and 90s, I have no clue. I think maybe a lot of them didn't like to read. That's not surprising if you go if you go on social media and look at some of these jagoffs on social media, you know, who are your age, putting out, you know, all they do is talk bullshit on YouTube, but they don't bring up this stuff because they don't read. And that's the Let me explain this. When I explained this 15 years ago, okay, people didn't understand it. Now everybody understands that. Now they're able to balance DHN and DHT by using a DHT derivative with the DECA. So you use a DHT derivative with DECA, and testosterone is not enough. You must use a DHT with DECA. So Proviron is what I recommend you use. All right, go ahead. Yeah,
so there's a couple of things here. Firstly, I've never run DECA on its own, so I'm not even entirely sure that the group you're referring to would either. They're almost certainly going to run it with someone else. And again, testosterone, of course, is a combination of testosterone. This ends up being one of my faves, you know. The other thing is, and I've actually been kind of good at this on the odd occasion when it's come up. The argument for the 15, 20 years ago is kind of valid, but only because people weren't having the access to the information that we have now. You're actually kind of good at this. And I think I'm actually kind of good at interpreting how this stuff is done, because we have access to the studies easier now than we've ever done before. And it does get done. People do bring it up. And in fact, when we do articles for the website for Evo, we quite often link to the specific references from easily as available and accessible studies. One of the things that's still difficult for some people is that they will cherry pick a part of the information from the study and then not understand how the conclusion was drawn. So let me give you an example again. And we touched on this earlier in the conversation that Steve and I have had. It's kind of fun because Steve and I do this properly. And that is looking at the age groups of the people that are in the study and the condition of the thing. So for example, an enormous amount of studies are done with students. You can't do that with steroids. You really shouldn't do steroids. But so you want older people, 25, 30, 45, 50, and so on. And you want a combination of fit and unhealthy. And then you want to look at how the amounts that we use in the study, is it PED levels and so on. Very few studies have that. So it's interesting. You need to be able to interpret it properly. You need to be able to read it properly. And they weren't doing it 15 or 20 years ago, unlike yourself. So let's get into how we would cycle and dose this as well.
Yeah, a lot of it is laziness on their part, a lack of understanding of how compounds work. And that's not how we educate ourselves, guys. We have to read. We have to study this shit. Just like, you know, and that's very remarkable. These people, they don't do that. They don't like to do this. They just stick their ass with steroids and hope it works. So it's very important to study. Now, the other aspects of using DECA in 2024 to your advantage is running it properly. So how much do we need to run of DECA? Now, I personally have run DECA at two dosages, 300 milligrams a week, 400 milligrams a week. I've gotten great results off of it. One of the greatest benefits of DECA is the appetite increase, which is very abnormal versus other steroids. And what I mean by that is not what you think. I'm talking about no other steroid that I've ever run makes me not be satiated from meals the way DECA does. Like DECA, I can eat and eat and eat and eat. Yeah. Like I was on DECA. I was waking up in the morning. I was eating a meal, going to workout, coming home, eating again. So I'd have two breakfasts on DECA, and then I'd eat again in 2 hours, and I eat again in 2 hours. It makes you hungry and hungry and hungry. And the more you work out on it, it seems, the more hungry you get. Now, other steroids like Tren, if you exercise on Tren or if you wake up in the morning, you feel like shit. You feel nauseous. You feel like, I don't want to eat. So DECA works beautifully. So if you want a bulk, 300 or 400 milligrams of DECA, and then I'll let you give your thoughts, Mobster. I'm going to give you a couple. Let me give you a couple cycles, and then I'll let Mobster talk about dosing and stuff. Slowly talk about dosing, not with his motor mouth. as I'm always, you know, bosses are always giving him a hard time for that. So 300 to 400 milligrams, you could throw in a little testosterone and give a little androgenic kick, maybe 100 milligrams, but don't go high on the testosterone unless you're simply just trying to dirty bulk. If you're trying to dirty bulk, then go 300, 400, 500 milligrams testosterone. That's fine. But make sure you're adding an AI to that cycle, because testosterone will aromatize into estrogen, and the DECA will too in small amounts. So now you're going to have a lot of gyno issues. And a lot of people over the years, especially in the 80s and 90s, ran test and DECA together, ended up with gyno. And then if you want to run D-ball with it, you're going to get bloated like crazy. So if you're just looking to move the body weight scale, those three, DECA, D-ball, and testosterone, or Sustanon, or any testosterone option, are going to bulk you like crazy, move your weight. But that's not the way I recommend running it. I recommend you do a little some adjustments from that typical old school stack. I recommend you do the DECA 300 to 400. And then I recommend 100 or 150 milligrams of testosterone. That's it. Not more than that. Okay. And then I recommend Proviron with it or Anavar. Now, if you run the Anavar with it and you say you do the Anavar 6, 7, 8 weeks, okay, to kickstart the cycle, to fill in the gap for the rest of the cycle, you need to be on Proviron. A lot of PCTs nowadays, I've seen PCT stacks, including Proviron, and even some underground labs are coming up with PCT stack orals, which are a combination of a dick drug, small amount of a dick drug, Novadex, Clomid, and Proviron. So that would be the perfect stack for DECA for a PCT. And when you come off of DECA, that's going to be important, because that Proviron will help. Remember how I talked about on the last segment, DHN versus DHT. That's how I would balance it with that Proviron, both on cycle and during PCT. You need to have that DHT in there, because remember the DECA long ester. And then also I talked about Anavar, T-Bowl, Masteron, even Primo can be added in there to be your DHT. But Proviron is the best, because Proviron is not liver toxic. So Proviron, you can run 25 milligrams or you can run 50 milligrams a day and it won't mess with your liver. But Anavar and T-Bowl and these others will, that are orals especially, they will mess with your liver. Winstrol, that will mess with your liver. And it's kind of going to be counterproductive what you want to do. So that's how I would run DECA Mobster. You have a couple minutes left. Why don't you give your final dosing and steroid ideas for guys before you take us in a disclaimer?
Right, so I've used this in the past, as you know, Steve, and on previous shows I've talked about the amounts, and it was always one of those slightly, my old man brain, whether it was 765 milligrams total or 765. I'm going to go with a lower number. I was dosing products every 4 days, like Steve said, and again, SUST and DECA together. And as I said earlier on, SUST is, of course, a combination of testosterone esters. So we're looking at around 300, 350 milligrams against 400 milligrams-ish. Most recently, when I did the most recent one, which was the bulk, where I managed to get all the way up to 336 pounds, which was an all-time highest body weight, I actually went a little bit higher, kept the frequency of pinning exactly the same, and the total combination of both products together just slightly over a gram. That was kind of high for me. I don't think I needed to run it quite that high, Steve. It was uncomfortable being 336 pounds. As you can imagine, that's a lot of body weight to be carrying. It's an all-time high, 6 pounds over and above against Steve. So, yeah, I again, 300, 400 milligrams of each is perfectly fine. And for me, the every 4 days, every 5 days thing works, again, for me perfectly well. You can tweak these numbers. You can sort of work out what works for you. I'd always suggest going with the lower number to begin with, 200, 300 milligrams. Of the DECA, and then combine that with some form of test. As Steve says, you've got the options that Steve's given you. Always go with the lower numbers, as the argument becomes you can't take out if you put too much in, but you can always add if you haven't quite put enough in. So it's easy to go with the lower numbers and tweak it upwards than it is with the higher numbers and still have the goddamn product in your system and have to wait until it decreases down to a sensible level. So keep that in mind. As I say, it's still got its place. There's more peptide options, Steve, and growth hormone and insulin being invented and Psalms and whatever else. But in terms of overall popularity, things move up and down the list, the top 10, top 15. It's one of those things I feel will probably come back into vogue again. And, you know, what we want out of bodybuilding today and how we want to look as a strength athlete, whatever else, will change. There is I won't call it a fashion, but there's still a vogue for what we want and what's popular and what wins competitions, and that will change over time. So it's the same as skirts going up and down and hair up and hair down and all that kind of stuff. It seems a bit silly, but that's just the way that these things work. It comes in cycles. So Decca will have its day back again. Keep that in mind, guys. And hopefully the information is useful for you. Tell us what you think in terms of dosages. What's your experience of using Decca? Have you had Decca Dick? And if so, why do you think that happened? And so on and so forth. Let us know on the forums and in the comments below. Please note, we are not doctors and opinions are ours. It is our view and based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes, entertainment only, the freedom of speech, and the First Amendment applies.